America's favorite family is back. We are talking all about This Is Us, Season 2, Episode 1. And believe me, there are no shortage of tears. So stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I love this opening. Right?
It's perfect. Because it is a bittersweet episode.
It was very bittersweet episode. Oh my gosh, I cried. And I was expecting to cry. Were you guys expecting to cry? You have no choice.
This show is specifically for my tears.
I mean, exactly. The hashtag has a box of tissues next to it.
It has
to. So they expect us to cry.
You know, it's funny. I saw a This Is Us preview, and it was sponsored by Kleenex. I was like, this is genius.
Wow. Perfect. No, I swear to God, it was sponsored by Kleenex. Right? Oh my gosh. Well, welcome, After Buzzers. We are so excited to be here talking all about Season 2. This Is Us, Episode 1, Father's Advice. My name is Candace Cruz. You can find me on all of my social media at Candace R. Cruz. And I'm joined by my fantastic panel right here.
Hey guys, I'm Keith Andre. You can follow me everywhere at Keith_Andre. This show is a lot. Like, oh my God.
It's emotionally draining, but I'm so excited to be here. This is actually one of my favorite shows of all time. Every time I need a really good cry, I watch this show. If you guys want to watch me cry, you can follow me all over social media at Lena Nori, and you guys will see me cry during this episode.
Season 2, guys, I'm so excited. I'm back for a second season. It's so exciting. I'm Erica Shannon, and you can find me on Twitter at Miss Airy Baby.
Oh my gosh, guys. This episode literally picked up right where they left off.
Yes.
Which I love. I think they do such a good job on this show with their timelines and the way they mix it up and keep you constantly guessing and just like everything is so fluid at all times. It's my favorite. So we kind of broke it up because there's a lot going on in the first episode. And we're going to talk a little bit about each of the little partnerships of the family. So we'll just kick it off with Randall and Beth, why not, right?
Yeah. Yes.
All about adoption. Randall's got baby fever.
Yeah, he does.
Randall said it so best about their relationship. They are perfectly imperfect. Mm-hmm. And what I love about them is they really don't follow each other. Like, Beth definitely stands her ground. Yeah. But then again, at times, she takes a step back. You know, while Randall had all of his issues with first losing his first father and then losing his second father. And it's funny, when she broke it down perspectively, when she was talking to his biological father in the park before they passed away, she's like, first, he just brings you in and doesn't even ask me. And then he brings the nanny in my basement for a year. And it's when you look at a marriage like that, seeing how hard it is for marriage to actually last nowadays, the fact that they have such good communication, even when they have bad communication, they get right back on track, I think is beautiful.
Yeah. And I think it was important to see Beth and Randall have bad communication, to see that, you know, they have a regular marriage. Like you said, the perfectly imperfect tagline was perfect. And I think Beth is probably one of my, like, favorite characters. I really like how she called him out on the whole adoption situation to begin with and how he's just dealing with himself. So I like them a lot. I think they do a great job of displaying, like, marriage and partnership more so, for sure.
Exactly. I do agree. I agree that they don't follow each other. Yeah. Like you can tell that they stand side by side and they're walking into whatever situation with each other. I love it. I love their relationship. I think it's one of the best relationships on TV. Even in addition to Jack and Rebecca, but I just love in present day what they have going on.
She's a girl boss. That's what I love about her.
Yeah, is that she
does stand her ground, and I think we don't see enough of partnerships within marriage represented on television. It's more of either the dysfunctional relationship or whatever it may be. This is the first time where I've seen like a true, you know, they equal each other out and they're individuals, but they complement one another.
Yeah. And the best part of the relationship this episode for me was, you know, Randall quit his job and he was at home making breakfast for his daughters. And he's, by the way, I said this while we were watching it, he's so much like his father. Like, he's such a good father and obviously an exemplary father himself. But it's the scene where his daughters are like, Daddy, Mommy goes to work now, and now you're at home. You're, like, the girl now. And he's like,
girl.
Excuse me.
That's
like, excuse me. Don't be pulling that backwards-ish on me.
Right?
Like, he's like, a father can be at home, too. And, I mean, obviously, I'm sure income-wise, they're more than fine. They live in a huge home.
Oh, for sure.
I'm sure he made so many great investments. So the fact that I like that they kind of shine light on that. Like, wait, stop right there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it does show the world is a different place. But like you said, I think a good point to make and a good point that the show makes with the writers is that Beth and Randall's relationship does mirror Rebecca and Jack's relationship in a lot of ways. Like, he is so much like his father. And I think to streamline that is something that's beautiful to see. And it makes the show make so much more sense.
And it's not his biological son.
That's the crazy part about it, right? But that could be the reason why he is so much like him. You know what I mean? Because he has that relationship and maybe latching on to pick up those traits that we'll never see Kevin have.
But even he's like William, too, because when William and Beth were in the park,
it's true.
She was saying that he's bullheaded just like William, like father, like son. And of course, that touched William because he's like, I haven't known my son in 36 years. And to say he's taken after me.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
It's a big deal. Yeah. Right. So I think that he has a little bit of both fathers.
Yeah,
and
for
even
sure.
Without him realizing it.
Yeah. What I loved about the whole adoption, I don't want to say controversy because it's not necessarily the best term, but the argument that these two are having is that they're having an argument. Mm-hmm. And to see them withstand that and actually have communication throughout that, and to see her throw him under the bus when they're talking to that social worker, where she's like, can we just find a child sitting on the front of a firehouse and then it will scratch my husband's itch. Thank you very much. Right? And it walks out.
And then to do that on his birthday, too. That was, like, supposed to be the birthday present. So, I mean, they take ownership of who they are, for sure, in
their
relationship.
That's one hell of a birthday present.
Oh, my God.
I would have liked to see, though, and maybe we'll see it as the season goes on, but them have the initial conversation. Like, we saw it at the end of last season where Randall was like, I want to adopt, or we should adopt. Mm-hmm. But I want to see how Beth got to the point that she's, like, sitting in the social worker's office like that. So I want to see that kind of build out.
She thought she was pregnant, and she was I felt like she was a little bit excited about it.
Yeah.
Where Randall was kind of like taking a step back, like, do we really want this right now? But I think, I feel like on every episode, there's like some underlying message. And I feel like with their exact relationship and their exact situation, when she brought up the idea of possibly adopting an older kid, I think it sheds light on what I feel like the message is, which is what I just said a few minutes ago, is nurture versus nature. Like, Randall is so much like his father because of how he was raised. So she's like, why don't we give another kid that's not a newborn a chance to have a life that's on the streets or doesn't have someone that loves him? And I think that that goes to show that it is a lot of times the nurture of how people love you and support you and encourage you. And then that's what she's kind of saying. Like, if we're going to do this, we're going to throw our lives upside down. Let's just do it. With someone that has no one.
And what I did like about it is, going back to what you were talking about, it made, as we're talking more about it, it almost emulates so much more of Rebecca and Jack, because Rebecca had just lost her third child and had carried it to full term and then didn't really originally want Randall at all. And we even saw a little bit of that in season one where she couldn't adapt to him. They weren't taking to each other very well.
Right.
And it's almost reflective of what Beth and Randall's situation was, where she thought she was pregnant, didn't carry through. Maybe she's having some reservations about, like, I want to have my own child. I don't want to necessarily adopt. Just because this worked out for you doesn't mean that it's meant to be for us. You know
I was definitely
feeling
that a little bit early at the first half of the episode.
Yeah.
I was like, maybe she's hesitant because she wants to have a child
of her own.
Naturally. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think, to go back to kind of your point with Beth, I think it is a subtle, like, character development, only because earlier in the episode, like you said, at the park where she was speaking with William just about, oh, he moved you in and he moved the brother in. And you know what I mean? So I think we get to see, like, those subtleties in her. I don't think it'll be like a big switch as to why she all of a sudden, you know, goes with it or decides to, like, turn up at him with that social worker.
And fake smoke outside.
Right.
Like, that was I was like, because when I didn't catch that there wasn't anything in her finger, so I was like, what is she outside? Wait a minute. Like, I know she and William did their thing in last season and everything like that, but I was like, Beth.
My observation of Beth is, she reminds me of a lot of women that I'm either, like, related to or I have around me, like, very strong, very independent. She seems like a woman that doesn't like change. Mm-hmm. And I myself oftentimes don't like change, and it's just a part of life. So here comes this clean-cut woman, raises her daughters to a T. They're very well-behaved, very proper, this kind of perfect molded marriage with a husband that has a corporate job, and you live in a nice house, and you have the nice cars, and they live in a nice neighborhood. And then here comes, like a biological father pretty much off the street, Manny living in your basement that says inappropriate stuff, does whatever he wants, is like keeps your kids up late at night, and then now the husband wants to adopt a kid. Like, that's three or four huge changes.
Major differences.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. So I feel like she's kind of taking a step back. Like, this is a lot. Like, I think she's handling it pretty damn well, though.
I think so, too. Yeah. And I think it speaks, like we keep saying, it goes back to their marriage and this partnership, right? Like, at the end of the day, what am I going to do? I'm going to be with you. And we see that a lot with Randall and Rebecca.
Mm-hmm. And we
With Jack and Rebecca.
Yes, and going into that, Randall does go and talk to
Rebecca.
Randall Rebecca.
That is
kind of
But you know, that's because Kevin tried to call him out, you know, when they were younger.
Mm-hmm. And don't try to cover up your slip up.
You're trying to
I do just want to say before we move on really quickly, I think it's interesting because Sterling K. Brown in another show, Army Wives, he and his wife on that show adopted. So I just think it's interesting how in this show now he's like adopting the same situation. I just thought that was cool.
Can we also fangirl over him for a second? Because the dude just won an Emmy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, come on.
Such a big deal.
Well earned. Cut him off.
Well deserved.
Right?
Well deserved.
That was so rude.
But he was, he definitely deserved it. Out of the win that This Is Us had, kudos to him.
For sure.
Congratulations
for
to Sterling.
Sure. Oh my gosh.
He was fantastic in the whole season one. So going into Randall and Rebecca, because we talked a little bit about that, but Randall does go and talk to
way.
In a different way. Right. This is not the way you were planning it to be. We're talking about when Randall actually confronts his mother about the adoption story.
I can't stand Kevin.
Yeah.
Like the scene in the
Randall
movie.
Rebecca, Kevin, I can't say
no, because in the scene where they're at the movies, I'm picturing in their relationship is he looks over to Kate. Like, first of all, how are you 15 and think of stuff like that? First of all, why do you have a hickey on your neck? That's besides the point.
Mm-hmm.
But he's looking at Sophie. Kate going, now that dad's out of the picture, Randall's going to make his move. Like, really?
Yeah.
The poor kid just loves his mother.
I think that Kevin has had, you know, this resentment, we know, towards Randall forever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whatever. That happens with the sibling rivalry. But you do, we get to see the closeness of Randall and Rebecca when he does go and he confronts confronts his mother. And he's like, no, I've heard this story, but let's be real. Like,
let's get down to it.
What's the truth of the matter?
But it does shed light on a lot of other things, too, within, like you said, with the underlying message of, you know, adoption in general. I think they did a great job about the way she was just like, you know what? I didn't really want you to begin with. Like, there was an honesty and a vulnerability to it that was, like,
gut-wrenching. She lied for 37 years,
right,
though.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess now's the time, if any time, but still.
And that's one thing that I really appreciate about this show. Even last season, I would say how honest and truthful.
Yes. For sure.
And how they would confront each other. And it's not a confront and go to commercial. It's like, okay, we're going to have this conversation and we're going to have it right now. And then we'll go to commercial when it's done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love that it's still, I mean, it's the second season, but I love that they continue to go on with that.
For sure. Rebecca just lies so much. Like, you lie about Randall's paternal father. You lie about the fact that you always wanted him. And I feel like unless Randall would have, like, if he didn't confront her the way he did, she would have taken that shit to the grave.
However, I agree with that point. I do, because I completely understand that. But at the same time, seeing it from, like, another perspective, she is a mother. And a mother's instinct is to protect your child. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's a lot of things that I'm sure we don't know that our mothers are trying to protect us from. And, like, you try and protect your children from seeing the worst of things. You don't want them to, like... And you also don't want them to resent you either. That was her biggest fear from the get-go.
Yep.
And also the biggest fear that William might take her child back. Because when she did get attached to him, she didn't want him to be taken away from her.
Yeah. But they're not children anymore. She can't make that decision for him.
Yeah, but we're always our parents' kids. Mm-hmm. You know, we're always the children.
Mom, what are you keeping from me, Mom? I know you're watching.
Tell me.
Yeah. Tell me.
Tell me now. Tell me all the secrets.
No, she didn't have to be like, I didn't want you. I mean, clearly she did not want him. Like, it was definitely forced on her. But she could have been like, he's a grown adult now. She could have been like, you know, it was a very difficult time at the time your father really wanted me to adopt you, and I'm still trying to grieve over my son, and I felt like he was trying to replace one death with another life. Like, there's there's a politically correct way, I guess you could say, that she could have said it.
Of course. Yeah, but I mean, at the end of the day, she did it. So, I mean, I think we have to give her kudos for that.
You're saying when Randall was younger, she should have done
that? No, not when she was younger, but they're 37
now. The conversation in the kitchen, you're saying.
Like, I'm sure Randall, throughout time, we haven't seen it, has struggled with being a parent. She could have brought it up as an example.
Yeah, but I'm fine with the time frame that she chose to do it. I feel like she did it in an honest way. Yeah, he may have had to prime her to get the right answer out of her, but I think that's part of her character. And to your point, I think the show does a really good job of just being, like, super truthful and honest. Like, that's one of the things I appreciated watching the episode, because as people, insecurities, dreams, goals, all that stuff doesn't just fade away. So to see each of them still go through their own struggles and to still have that, I like that we get to see that consistency as we start this season as well.
And one thing too about Rebecca that I've noticed with her character development, when we're looking at younger Rebecca with Jack still around and older Rebecca is very reserved. She doesn't talk much.
Yeah,
she's very quiet, she's very observant, she keeps to herself for the most part, and when she says something, she says it. But she was a lot more talkative and forceful and very just outright blunt as a younger person. So I'm wondering how detrimental Jack's death could have been to her, because we haven't seen that evolution between, we haven't seen the connect. We've seen her with him, and then we just now got a glimpse of, you know,
her without him.
So we haven't seen the draw between.
Well, she goes from being married to Jack, who in my opinion is like the best man, like in terms of being a father, in terms of being a husband. Mm-hmm. Yes, I get it. He's an alcoholic. Right. So she was married to this incredible man who loves her so much. Yes, he's not perfect. Mm-hmm. Perfectly imperfect relationship, as they were saying. But the way Jack loves her, I feel like there's no woman in this world that can watch This Is Us and see the way Jack loves Rebecca and not want that love. And then you have this loser Miguel that she's
married to. I knew where I was going.
I hate Miguel.
He just hates Miguel.
It's on the panel.
Honestly, it's not my fault that I don't like Miguel. I feel like the show has scripted him not to like him. They've shown him kind of like being the little weasel from the sidelines. And listen, for all I know, maybe he helped her through a hard time and helped the kids. But as of right now, I don't like Miguel. And I feel like Jack, like, when you're living with someone and you love someone and you have that relationship where you guys just connect, there's a spark, there's a fire. Like, when Jack closed the door on her, she was just there knocking. She wouldn't be knocking for Miguel. She'd be like, bye-bye, Miguel.
Oh, my God.
Bye, Felicia. Or at least I would say bye-bye, Miguel.
I mean, I don't like Miguel either.
I still don't care for him.
I'm loving that we have some people up in the chat right here.
Yay! Hi, everybody!
Hey, what's up?
What's going on?
People are way too hard on Rebecca because she's not perfect like Jack seems to be.
Yeah. And I think that comes out of a result of seeing how great, like you said, Jack is. And so, I mean, you have no choice but to lack. You're not going to top, you know, Jack. Like, he's a great character.
Hit the road, Jack. Come back. It should actually be hit the road, Miguel.
I do appreciate, though, that Jack admitted that he has a problem.
And
it's crazy because when they were having that conversation in the doorway, I thought back to when Jack walked into that bar, and I was like, oh, it's the liquor that made him do that, that gave him the confidence to walk up to that guy to say, hey, why don't you take on my wife for a solo gig? I don't think he would have done that if he didn't have that liquid courage inside. But the fact that he was potentially drunk in that moment and it wasn't evident, I think he has a real serious problem.
His father was an alcoholic.
He's been drunk, he said, for weeks. That's...
Which we haven't really seen much of, except for the last, two episodes of season one, where they were very vaguely addressing the alcoholism.
And he was, like, drinking in the car.
I am interested, because this show is so much, like, tackling on hard issues, I'm interested to see how head-on they attack alcoholism and how it affects a family and how much they're going to draw this out.
And how much it's hereditary. Like, he saw his father, and even though he thought his father was a bum and didn't even... I mean, last season, he didn't even tell his dad he was married. He went back to borrow money and didn't say he was married and had kids. And even though you can tell deep at the core he didn't want to be his father...
he had, may have had no choice. But yeah. For sure. I mean, I definitely think that's going to be his character flaw. And I think, like you said, as a result of it, we'll probably see some stuff play out over the course of the season. Just mm-hmm. definitely dealing with the alcoholism.
But it's also interesting because the kids never... It doesn't seem like they saw that side of him.
Yeah.
Which is great.
They always have good things to say about right. it. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how Jack and Rebecca, like, navigate that around the kids. Because we're, as kids, we understood things.
Yeah. And you pick up on things that your parents aren't telling you. Like, yeah. you know what I mean? You're yeah. going to see things for yourself for sure.
How old were they when he actually passed? Was it 13, 14, 15?
17. I think that's what Kevin said in this episode.
Remember, oh, yeah. 17. He did say he...
So it's been 20 years now.
So John says that Milo is going to tell... Like, Milo said that Miguel is going to win us over, which I'm assuming they... The show, that's why I said earlier, the show is making us not like him.
Right.
Yeah. Which only makes me feel like there's the real story to Miguel and that he was obviously there. They just want to make him look like the sideliner guy, but I'm still Team Jack for life.
mm-hmm. Who was the other girl at the very end? I couldn't catch it. That was sitting on the couch.
Next to Randall. I have no idea, but she kissed his hand.
That is such
I feel
a good
like maybe
question.
It's Miguel, Miguel's daughter. Because doesn't he have two kids? Or he has... One? I can't remember.
No, Miguel's
exactly.
ex-wife, he got divorced from his
yeah,
wife.
Yeah, but it was a kid.
Right.
It was a kid that was yeah, sitting next to her.
Right, I think it was
someone
maybe
their
his
own
daughter.
Age.
Oh, was it?
I think it was yeah. maybe his daughter.
I don't know, but that's fascinating to see that, I mean, there's another kid there, and mm-hmm. then obviously Kate knows. And was Miguel the one that told them? Because
right.
Rebecca's driving by the house, and I mean, someone did make a good point where they were like, that Miguel gave them a place to live after their house is gone.
Yeah, but...
And... I thought last season that there has to be a reason that Jack and Miguel are friends. Because Miguel can't be that bad of a guy if Jack...
Is such a great person.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So but there has to be something there.
They scripted him so bad. Like, do you remember even on Jack's birthday, Miguel's like, let's go for some drinks. And they showed him as, like, the guy that, like, flirts with women. And he's
right,
like, it's okay
right.
if I flirt. We're like, mm-hmm. Jack is diehard. So, like, I'm maybe obviously we're gonna do predictions later. I just predict that they're just scripting him so bad, but only yeah. to like give us room to come up with Miguel.
I agree, and I think that we'll get to see some of Miguel's redemption this season, especially as they unfold the death of Jack, which is crazy,
which
and scary.
All we know is that there was a fire,
right? And the
That's
house
all we have.
Is burned down.
Yeah. They're not gonna tell us anything this season. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling.
Or at least wait to the very last episode and give us right. the biggest cliffhanger jump. Ever.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's what we thought it was going to be last season, though.
I thought it was a car accident.
Mm-hmm.
When he was driving to the yeah. concert, yeah. I was like, oh, God, yeah. this is when it happens. Because, wait, throwback, though. I got really excited. Kate did say I was the reason why he died. So that's why I thought it was a car accident. Hello.
Time out. Hello.
Oh, yep.
I need to write down a prediction.
Okay, write that prediction down, girl, because I need to know. Because
I
forgot about that, because Kate was, like, feeling really bad when she talked to Toby, and he said, you never told me how your father died. And she said, I'm not ready to, because I'm the reason why he died. And so when they led into the car, when he was going to the concert, and mm-hmm. she convinced him to go to watch mom, I was like, oh, God, that's why.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So how does mm-hmm. she have to play in with this fire?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then why is she with Randall at Miguel's? And then...
Why is he wearing a cast?
Why is he making out with Sophie? Like,
what's going on?
So many questions.
Oh, that was Sophie.
That was Sophie because they were dating since they were little.
Dude, that chick is ride or die. I'll tell you that much.
She is. Yes. Sophie's been there from the beginning. She's not playing.
So speaking of Kevin, we should talk about Kevin and... Because I'm dying to talk about Kevin and Kate.
You love Kevin.
Hold on. I do want to mention that last season on this after show, we had a resident Kevin hater.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be
one. So now you'll be the resident. Okay.
Sorry.
So now we have a new one.
I love him. He's a fantastic actor. Fantastic. Love that. But the character itself, he's just a narcissist.
Oh, my God.
And completely like... There's nothing going on behind these eyes. So it's just like, I'm not a fan.
Well,
he has semi-good intentions.
Right.
Semi. Every once in a blue moon.
I mean, I think he's a necessary character.
Yes,
I think we need to see, because this is a part, there are these people in the world. We all have friends. We may have siblings who act this way.
Oh
but
my
at
God,
the end of the day, he does pick up on certain things, even when, you know, he and Toby were going back and forth, and then he decided not to go out for a drink. You know what I mean? Because he was going to give them their moment to, you know, be together. So I don't think he's completely like oblivious to the world.
I don't like Kevin to a certain degree. I don't like younger Kevin, which you can't really blame a child just in the fact that he saw his mom love someone else more than him. I can imagine how it feels, and I understand why she did it. Rebecca did it kind of like overcompensating for the fact that maybe she felt guilt for not wanting him at first.
Yeah.
And like the kind of like the alienation from him, or I mean, whatever you want to call it. But I feel like with Kevin, what I do respect about him is he's come such a long way. Yes, he still has like diarrhea of the mouth. Like sometimes he says stuff, I'm like, really? You're 37 years old. Like he must have known that it wasn't his place to do certain things. Like, and I feel like part of him wants to fight Toby on the fact that like he feels like Kate is his. Mm-hmm, but it's like you have to love your sister enough to let her live. Like let her have a relationship. This guy clearly really cares about her.
Don't and just like, burst in their apartment.
Yeah.
Right.
In the morning or whenever.
With like a spare key.
Yeah.
That was for emergencies. Emergencies. Him doing that. I love Toby so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's so good. Great. He brings a lot. I think he brings a lot to the show as well. Not just to Kate, but overall with his interactions, especially with Kevin. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like they have like a love-hate relationship. A lot of the time you see them having moments where they hate each other, but then they come together. Like, he had to ride with them and then they go to the audition. So they have a lot of good moments as well.
I was telling, I don't remember, I think I was talking to you. So I actually just did the NBC press tour for This Is Us. I interviewed Chris Sullivan, which is Toby, and then I also interviewed Kevin, and the girl next to me was interviewing Kevin, and Toby kind of like walks behind him, and the girl is asking him, you know, a standard question you would ask Kevin is, how does it feel to be casted as the good-looking guy, and you're always casted in these good-looking roles, and Toby just sneaks up behind him, and he goes, that's until I walk into the scene. It is so funny, and they actually like bantered, this is them in real life, I could see the connection, and Toby in real life, he's wearing a fedora hat, wearing like a floral collared shirt, has his nails painted, very stylish.
Yeah.
So it's a little blending of fiction and reality.
Yeah, so his his personality is the same, and I feel like they had a very good relationship just from like the couple minutes I witnessed them banter back and forth. Mm-hmm. But he is hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, Toby is hilarious in person.
That's what I love about the show is that it's, I mean, it's truthful in and of itself with the writing, but like, the actors are just so present and very much themselves and willing to go those places that a lot of shows aren't right now. And yeah, I love the trio though. Kate, Kevin, and Toby. I'm interested to see the soul love triangle.
And that's what it is in a weird way. Because you have a girl who has been dependent or codependent on her brother basically their whole lives.
Yeah.
And then you have this other man who she's completely in love with who props her up whether she needs it or not, and so she doesn't know. And then we saw when she wanted to go back to the audition that she was like, I'm gonna do this by myself, I don't need either one of y'all,
I don't want to be called,
don't follow me,
right. She said she shouldn't need to be, but in all reality, I mean, she does. Mm-hmm. And it's because of her relationship. So hopefully we'll get to see changes there too. But they are kind of like a Three's Company, like but mixed up situation.
They had a breakthrough. So on the couch, like, you know, Kevin opens up, puts his ego aside, talks about how I'm not a good actor and all I had in life is my sister. That's the only thing I've ever been good at is being a brother. Mm-hmm. And it's the times that you just can put your ego down and just communicate.
She's like,
I was just gonna say
whether he means it or
allegedly
not.
Allegedly a good brother.
He definitely opened himself up and admitted to his faults. So he's not perfect. And then Toby was kind of like, you know what, you're right. You are her twin. You have been there for her. Because let's be real, I'm sorry. Toby also doesn't have a right that you just came into her life, like what, in the last year? You're not gonna erase the last 35 years of them basically being best friends. They lost a parent together. Like, think about what they've gone through together, and you're not going to come in and erase that bond. So it's I like that moment where they kind of, like, they said they're going to expand the cord.
Yes.
Stretch the cord.
Exactly.
Stretch.
Exactly.
Yeah. What were you going to say? I feel like you were holding something back over there.
I was just going to say, Lena, you were saying that Kevin's a good brother. He, you know, that's the one thing that he knows how to do.
To just a Kate.
To a Kate.
Yeah, that's correct.
Right. He is.
I should clarify.
Not so just great to Randall.
Right.
He's trying to make it better. But, and that was another thing that I didn't care for in this episode. Not that I'm critiquing the episode, but I didn't like that they spent their birthday apart again.
Well, yeah. They're in LA though.
I know, but I was like, man, last season, they didn't celebrate their birthday together because I think Kevin and Kate were still in LA then. And I was like, oh, I would love to see them, the three of all them together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So but that Sophie kind of made it. Out. Sophie did make it. Girlfriend. I don't care about Sophie. Right. The year.
I gotta make three. That's what I care about.
That girl put up with the cheating guy, okay? You spent your whole life growing up with Kevin, and he cheats on her. They get divorced, and she's even willing to give him a second chance. And then the fact that she went out of her way, her mom has MS, she's sick, and still made it in time for his birthday, I think she's great.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah.
But I do agree, someone in the chat...
I didn't need her to show up. I didn't need her to show up.
I was hoping it was Randall. Not gonna lie.
It's so funny, really someone did say on their... that they did think the whole, like, Sophie thing kind of just came out of nowhere. And I kind of agree.
Yeah.
Yes, we, like, didn't know about Sophie. Here comes Sophie. One episode. And then the next episode, he's on our doorstep. Like, if only men were really that, like, that quick to be like, I just thought about Sophie. Let me go back and get her.
And then her actually come back to be with me that quickly. Right,
like, okay, let's do this.
Yeah. It's a little too perfect.
Yeah.
Which is not perfectly imperfect like every other relationship we've seen.
Very true.
In this show. True.
That's the problem with them. So we'll see.
Yeah, I do want to see the big three back together, though. I agree with that. Yeah. Because I think that right now, they're as much as they're still like the core that's briefly holding them together, I feel like it's almost two completely separate entities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And maybe that's reflective of their relationship all the way through their childhood.
Oh, definitely.
Because it seems like Randall was always outsider.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He was loved by his parents. They adored him. But he was always them and then the twins.
Yeah.
Him, twins. It was never...
Even that scene in the movie theater where Rebecca is sitting between them.
Yes.
And then he's trying... But I think that also comes from the fact that, and we didn't really talk about it, that Randall caught them, Jack and Rebecca, arguing.
Yeah.
So he, I think, was maybe trying to be more loving to his mother because he knew something that they didn't, that Kevin and Kate didn't know.
Right.
Yeah. But to that point, too, with their relationship with the big three, the reason that he was in a position to know something is because he is off to the side. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Or he is in the house and everybody's doing something else, doing their own thing. So,
speaking of the big three, this is, I feel like, that underlying lesson in this episode. There's so many lessons, nurture versus nature, alcoholism, how it affects being adopted, fighting for love. But I feel like in the last three episodes before the last season ended, and then today's episode, as they're turning 37, I would say kind of close to the age that the parents had the kids, when they keep flashing back, is feeling like you didn't do enough in life. Like, you never pursued your dreams and gave up your dreams. We have Randall that just quit his job out of nowhere, which is so unlike him. He said he's always been pursuing and trying to achieve perfection.
Yep. Yeah,
okay?
For sure.
Right. Then you have Kevin, who's come to terms with the fact that I'm not even a good actor. Like, he's like, I'm more the hardest working person in the room. I'm sure he realizes he's just a good looking guy, which is why he gets all these roles. Kate, who's like, my whole life I wanted to be a singer.
Mm-hmm.
But all she keeps flashing back to is being that little girl at the pool with her letter. Mm-hmm. And the girl's telling her, like, we don't want to be your friend because you're fat. And then you have Rebecca, which they keep flashing back to, that wants to be a singer.
Yeah.
And then, I'm going to keep calling him Milo. It's so funny. And then you have Jack, who we don't really see him regretting anything yet.
Right.
But I think we're about to. I think that's why he's been drinking so much, that either maybe he doesn't feel like he's adequate enough as a father.
Mm.
Because remember, he had to go back to his dad to borrow money.
Yeah.
What was his, and I'm forgetting, what was his original dream that he was going to do that he gave up because he went into that bar and met Rebecca?
He was doing something shady.
He was trying to do something else. He wanted to get out of the town. He wanted to leave. He wanted to get the money and start up his own...
I don't know, but I do know that he wanted to do... I know he wanted to do, at some point, his own construction company.
Right. Maybe that was it. I don't remember, but he did want to do something bigger.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I never think that's what Rebecca was referring to when he opened the door back up. And she was like, you never had a chance. I wasn't the only one who lost my dream.
Right.
I think that was what... So maybe we'll see...
I think that's why we see the alcoholism in him, is like, he doesn't feel like he's good enough
as
a father, as a husband, or... like, in his career. So we've seen everyone and what they really want to be. And even with Rebecca, like, I know I've been jokingly giving her flack this whole time, but I give her props. You know, she never really was dying to have kids. she got pregnant. She freaked out because now she has triplets. And it's like their whole lives were turned upside down. And she was an amazing singer. And, you know, he kind of came at her and said, you should be ashamed of yourself or you should be embarrassed. You're singing in like a sparkly dress at the pub.
40 years old. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. But it's like, what are you doing?
What? How is there? There's no age on a dream.
Right.
Yeah.
You should pursue your dreams no matter what. And I feel like that's the trend. It's like 37, married with three kids. Pursue your dreams. Yeah.
And I think probably one of the best examples of like fulfilling your dreams, I feel, is Kate when she goes into the audition. And of course, she has this complex with her weight. And then she gets to realize like, wow, at the end of the day, it's not even about my weight. It's about my talent. So
which
I
has
can
been
work
her
that.
Thing that's been holding her back this entire time.
Exactly.
I think it also reflects how much pressure each of these roles, these people are assuming. Like Jack's a father figure and he doesn't feel like we put so much pressure on you're the father, so you must be the provider, you must be giving up this, you must do that, you must do that. And then same with the mother is that you should be perfect. You should always want your children. You should never doubt your children. Mm-hmm. You should always be able to give up your dream to be a mother. And then, you know, there's so many different roles that we assume within within people's like setups throughout life. Mm-hmm. And I feel like they're reflecting it very well within the show, that people just can't add up to some of these like requirements that we put on ourselves.
It's impossible.
Did you guys pay attention though that Jack, when he was telling her, I'm not coming home until I fix my problem, he said, I've had a problem for a very long time. He's like, for years.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think his alcoholism started the day he went to his dad's house and asked him for money. Well, I think that there's something that triggered him to feel either inadequate or like less of a man.
Yeah.
Because they did put so much emphasis on that. I remember that scene with the dad. I was like, this was a pretty long scene. Like, there's got to be a reason why they flashed to this. Mm-hmm. And so when he says, like, this has been such a long time, that explains why he wasn't coming home. And I think it was the day he went to go see his father.
And
could
he,
be, yeah.
Didn't he, and please correct me in the chat if I'm wrong, have a problem before that he and Rebecca experienced when the kids were younger, if I'm not mistaken? He had started to drink heavily then, and she called him on
it? Yeah, I think that was 7 years ago. Right. When they had their argument, he had a drinking problem for 1 year, 7 years before.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So only reason why is because I've been listening to this, like, I watched the last episode again, so it kept repeating in my head, but yes.
Well, I mean, he said it was a long time, so maybe he was just getting better at hiding it.
Could have been.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could have been over a period of 7 years.
And then something triggered him.
But how do you, caused him to, how does your husband come home drunk, smelling like liquor, and you have no idea? I kind of find that hard to believe, so how was he hiding it?
There are ways.
Like, he showers and like cleans himself before he gets into bed.
It's probably not unrealistic to think that he would go out for a drink after work.
Right.
Like, maybe just have a beer.
She was getting annoyed about it, that he wasn't, like, coming home and stuff like that, or, like, staying out later. Hanging out with Miguel.
But I guess that's why she called him on it.
Shade to Miguel. We don't like Miguel. Well, why don't we just go into predictions? Because I also
Listerine,
do want to get to...
Ding, 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 John. Listerine.
There you go. Listerine. Done. Kind of talk about predictions, and then we'll go into the news, because there's a lot of good stuff talking about the show right now. So I'm going to hop over to you for predictions, because you got really excited when I mentioned Kate and all that good stuff.
Okay, so I think the reason Kate feels guilty, and we now know that it was a fire, potentially, that killed Jack. Who knows still. But I think it's because maybe she left something on or plugged in, or she didn't turn the oven off, or she didn't turn something off, and it might have sparked. Okay. Like, Jack might have fallen asleep and didn't realize, and then...
From being drunk or not being drunk?
Okay.
That is the question.
I'm going to say from not being drunk.
I agree.
I feel like that'll be too on the nose if they're like, oh, alcoholism, and then that's what killed him.
Yeah.
I feel like it needs to be something like it had nothing to do with alcohol.
Like, he just went to sleep and didn't know.
What if he ran back in to go save her?
I was going
to
say, I would think that I don't know if he's saving her, but I would think maybe he's trying to put the fire out or save the house, or I think it would be something like that to be the cause. Mm-hmm. Like, him being the savior, him trying to stop something from happening.
I think, so my prediction is that for sure the way they're setting it up is that it has to do with this alcoholism, because literally they cut out to her knocking on the door, him getting in the car, and then fast forward to her in the car with a baggie of his stuff. Mm-hmm. So I feel like they're trying to have us think it has to do with alcoholism. It's going to end up not. I think it is going to have something to do with Kate, which is why she feels like she needs to be the one to go tell Kevin. A longer, I guess I would say, idea that I have is what I said earlier, which they're setting us all up to not like Miguel. So I feel like we're going to find out that Miguel actually ended up kind of being the one that kept the family together. I don't want to admit that, but that's what I feel like is happening, is that they're setting us up to think he's a guy that's shady with his wife and not a good person and kind of like always been eyeing Rebecca, but we're going to see that he's ultimately been the one that's kept them together. And I mean, he must know he's never going to be Jack. I actually kind of feel bad for Miguel.
Right.
You're never going to be Jack.
But that's interesting, too, because I think maybe we'll get to see, like, when they develop this relationship. Mm-hmm. I feel that he wouldn't just jump into it because he knows that there's this comparison to Jack. If I was him, I wouldn't want to get married to you.
Well, he also did. There was a conversation between Miguel and Kevin at one point.
Yeah.
Was it a birthday or was it Christmas?
Thanksgiving.
And he had the full conversation about, like, I'm trying to do the best I can to fill the space that your father did, but I will never be that.
Exactly.
Those are very roundabout terms of what the whole conversation was, but there was that conversation. So
yeah.
I'm wondering why Kevin held that animosity towards him that whole time, though.
Because Kevin's not that mature at the core. He has a very... Yeah. jealous root, and it has to do with the fact, and I love that they have that about his character, because you see him, you're like, oh, he's an actor and he's famous and he's tall and he's handsome and it's all these things about the character, but deep down inside he is just as insecure as Kate. And I love that, because people from a distance can see someone's life and be like, wow, their life is so amazing, there's what could be wrong, but really in reality, at the core, he's just as insecure as Kate. So I feel like his hate for Miguel is kind of like his hate for Randall.
Mm-hmm.
And that Miguel came in and took the dad's place and Randall came in and took his place. And it's just a matter of, it's really not Kevin's fault. Just not... I've seen a lot of adults that still are seeking their parents' love.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. At their age.
Yeah.
And I think it's such a powerful message that it doesn't matter how old you are, what happened in your childhood affects you at the core, and even as an adult, it comes back. Yep. Like, it never goes away.
For sure. You have to address those situations. Like I said, I mean, the characters, your insecurities, they're going to follow you until you get to the root of them and make changes. Yep. So,
very true.
Okay, predictions.
Predictions. I'll let you go because I still don't have anything.
You know what? I don't know if this is a good prediction, but I am going to predict that I believe that Beth and Randall are going to adopt an older kid, maybe preteen. I think they're going to take somebody in. And
boy or girl?
Boy, because he wants a boy. I think it's going to be a black
boy. That's crazy, though.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. That's going to be hard. Because
a boy with two young girls in your house?
Thank you. I don't mean to be weird and say that. Obvious, but
I don't mean to be weird and say that, but I mean...
But it sets up so many stories, so many things to come out of it.
Not that... I'm not saying anything. Like, not that a girl won't... No. But it's just to bring an older boy into a home, it's just...
I mean, especially somebody that's exposed to life in that way, and you have two younger girls who aren't.
Yeah.
But I do think, I think that's why Beth is there as well. She gives that reminder, like, this is what you want to do. You want to see somebody be yourself. You want to raise yourself. Then let's really do it. Let's find somebody who needs that help and give them a chance.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I think that we might get to see that.
And I don't think it's going to be easy, though.
No way.
They're not going to make this one easy. I already know it. Their perfectly imperfect life is ready to, like, be turned upside down.
Yeah. I think Randall's going to continue to try to make his jokes, though. Like, this,
oh my God.
This episode he tried it, that's what she said, which I don't even think they're doing anymore.
No.
Like, last year he was trying to say lit. It was just a lot.
He cannot help himself at all.
Well, I agree with that. I think they will adopt an older child, which is exciting to see. I don't know how long it'll be until that happens, but I'm excited to see it happen. Because that's going to bring a whole nother conversation.
Oh, my gosh. So much
and
trauma.
A whole nother bit of, challenges for them. I'm interested to see where Rebecca and Miguel came together. Because we keep talking about Miguel and, like, his relationship with the kids, but how is a wife... Losing your husband, do you end up with his best friend?
Yeah.
What brought you to that? Because to me, and this is just from seeing season one, there doesn't seem to be a love. It just seems to be like a, okay, we're married. It's a partnership.
Companionship.
Sure. And I want to know what brought her to that. Because she seemed like such a strong-willed woman. And a very independent woman at that, even with Jack, to end up having to, like, after that happened, and it kind of goes into my conversation earlier of how Rebecca's personality has changed and subdued so much since previously to younger Rebecca. So I don't know. I'm interested to see that. And obviously why, what happened with the fire? I don't think he was drunk. I think to me personally, that's just too on the nose. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's a whole conversation and you would automatically, like we saw in season one, we assumed it was a car accident. I just think it would have been like a fluke of like, maybe he got better and then all of a sudden you're like, yes, he made it through. We're better. We're fine. Yeah. We're getting where we need to be. And then all of a sudden something devastating happens.
And then maybe that's why Rebecca had the reaction that she did when she pulled up to the house and she was like,
exactly.
Because she was like, things had just gotten together.
And she's in a Steelers shirt. Mm-hmm. So did she go watch a game? Were they at a bar? Was she doing something? Because she only wears those during game days.
Yeah, I feel like Rebecca, to you know, answer your thoughts on her, I see a lot of regret in her eyes. Mm-hmm. Not just missing Jack. I feel like she maybe wishes she would have done things differently. And sometimes when you've lost someone you love, not even in death, like even in a relationship, you always go back and think how you could have done things differently. Mm-hmm. Like maybe she's like, if I had done this one thing that's different, he would still be alive. Or she regrets not telling him she loved him enough or letting... You know, she said it at the door. She's like, I should have never let you left to Miguel's house.
Right.
So I feel like she just has a lot of regret. And I will say, and this is probably the only time I'm going to give Miguel kudos unless they show me something different. Kudos to him for being with a woman that has a love for someone. You would think because he's dead, it's easier. It's even worse.
Right.
Yeah. You're like fighting a ghost.
Yep, for sure.
Because the ghost is perfect. He's dead. You can't even like...
Exactly.
There's nothing. Exactly. Nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like we could go on predictions all day long with this show, and you guys can totally like continue to chime in, and we will go through all the comments later on. But I do want to touch a little bit on the news of this show because there's so much that's happened for this show, which is amazing. TV news. Oh, this is new. I haven't heard this one. Yeah. This is exciting. But coming right off of the Emmys with all the Emmy nods to all of the incredible actors having an Emmy win. And then now I saw on Instagram today that they have announced, and correct me if I'm wrong, guys, maybe I misread it, but it seems like they have a season 3 already announced.
I mean, why would they not? Why would they not?
I need to double check. But yes, and it seems like the actors got a very nice bonus for coming on for season 3. So congratulations to all of them for that.
Well deserved.
I'm interested to see what we do find out about the fire or where they're going to leave us off, because we have a bunch of episodes for this season, but they're going into season 3. So
I don't think they're
going
to tell us.
I don't know. I read an article today that did say, I think they had a panel today, and the writer and the director was just saying that we are going to see a lot this season.
Okay.
The reveal dealing with the fire and, you know, Jack's death. So. Yeah.
Well, I found the article. It's from Hollywood Reporter, and it said, ready for Pearson's family return tonight. This Is Us was just renewed for third season, and then the cast was rewarded with $250,000 bonuses.
Wow.
It's a nice bonus.
Yes. Yeah.
And they deserve it, for sure.
That's how they're renting out those sushi restaurants.
Just one paycheck, done. What about you? You had some news, too.
Yeah, a couple other pieces of news. They'll actually be filming in London. We'll see Ron Howard.
Wait, what?
We'll see Ron Howard again later this season. And to meet his schedule, because he's directing Han Solo, they're going to actually be in London filming. So that's pretty exciting.
And who else are we seeing, too?
Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah.
And Brian Grazer, a father figure to Kevin, they said.
Mm-hmm.
That should be interesting.
Yeah. I want to see that. How?
And then one more congratulations to Dr. K, Gerald McRaney, who won the Creative Emmy for Best Drama Guest Actor.
Ooh.
Oh, so wow. Awards all around.
Nice. They deserve it.
Yeah, it's
best
an awesome show.
And Milo was actually nominated for the award that Sterling won.
Best husband of the year?
No.
Husband of the decade.
But best lead actor as well.
We need more
outstanding lead actor.
Milo's in the world.
Oh my and both God. Of the females were nominated as well. Mandy Moore was nominated as well as Chrissy
Metz. Hold on, let me clarify. Not more Milo's, more Jacks.
More Jacks.
We don't know Jacks. No offense, Milo. We don't know what you're really like in real life, but more marriages. So the percentage of divorces can go down.
Yeah, yes. That needs to happen.
And they were also on, was it Jimmy Kimmel?
Jimmy Fallon.
Jimmy
tonight.
Fallon. One of the Jimmys.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jimmys. I love you both.
Had to keep it in the NBC family.
Exactly. Of course. Right. And then they also did like a behind the scenes after show tonight after the first episode, which I'm going to go watch after
oh,
this.
Oh, yeah.
After our either. After show.
Hopefully they'll do it every week so we can.
Yeah, they did it last season.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
See, I watched all mine online last year. This is the first time I get to watch things live.
The after show to this after show. First you watch this one and then you go to that one.
Right. Then watch that one. Got it, guys? Yes. Yeah. Great. It'll work. Fantastic. So thank you guys so much for tuning in for episode one. We're so excited to go on this journey with you. Lots of Kleenexes, lots of tears, I'm sure. And be sure to chime in on the conversation. Join us on the YouTube chat. Find me on all of my social media. Again, my name is Candace Cruz. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Candace R. Cruz.
You can follow me everywhere at Keith_Andre.
And I'm Lena Nori. You can find me everywhere on social media at Lena Nori. And don't forget to tweet me your thoughts on Miguel.
Same, not about Miguel, but tweet me your thoughts, Erica Shannon at Miss Airy Baby.
She wants to know how Kevin treats, what you guys think about how Kevin treats Randall. That's what she wants to know.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. There you go. All the questions. So we'll see you next week, guys.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.